All right. This is, I think, the next to the last class that we will have on this part. Just to make it clear, there is a part two. It is very lengthy. Of course, most everything I do is, but this class hasn't been that. But I really am still debating if I don't think that I will immediately start that class if I'm going to do that one on a Tuesday or Thursday night, I mean. I don't think that I would start it immediately. So I'm not sure what we will do on the second class, if anything. Deb knows, and she's preparing all that stuff, and she'll let us know. But I'll just have to find out what's on the Lord's heart for that other part. But it's good. It's real good. Okay, so we've been discussing this thing of Satan as a tool. And we've been going through examples from the scriptures. And we've been looking at some things that were... maybe a little unknown to us, because I think it's unknown to a certain amount of Christians based on the fact that Christianity basically has taught us that God is good, Satan is evil, and the twain shall never meet. Therefore, to think in terms of God using the devil and him being a tool is foreign to a certain amount of Christians. But we've been examining scriptures that have thoroughly pointed out that in the lives of believers, God will allow the enemy to come in, not for destruction, though sometimes it feels like it, but rather the ultimate end to bring us more to where the Lord wants us and can deal with us. So tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And this one is has similarities between the last one that we did last week, which was 1 Timothy 1 verse 20. And so let's read the one we're doing tonight. And this is example number 4, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 6. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, to deliver such an one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? All right, so here again we are faced not just with the concept that God uses Satan as a tool. I think, again, for many Christians, it's a rough concept to wrap your head around. And that's one reason why we go through these scriptures and things, because there's too many of them. There's too many witnesses that are speaking along this line. But even the concept, we have to get past the concept. And in the last two that we did, 1 Timothy 1:20, and now in this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 4 through 6, we are confronted with being partakers of such a reality and enacting it as if we're working with the Lord in the process. Now that, to me, I mean, that seems even more weird. I mean, You look at the situation of Paul when we were talking about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. Is that what it is, or 1 Corinthians 12? Anyway, the thorn in the flesh. And God had, Paul clearly says, you know, God sent me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And then the end result of that is that, you know, he's learned something deeply spiritual about the Lord, because he probably was raised that, you know, God is, you know, good and the devil is bad and the twain shall never meet. So he, you know, he's trying to pray it away. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And you're going, well, if it's grace, get rid of this thing. You know, show me your grace. Be gracious unto me. He says, I am being gracious unto you. And it's sufficient for you. But that scenario was strictly between God and, as it were, Satan as the one, as the tool being used, and the person upon whom it was, you know, enacted was Paul. But nobody, no other human was, can I say it like this, working it. In these last class and this one here, we find that they're supposed to understand it and not just work with God, but understand it and work with how it works, and to understand why it works. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Okay, so here you have, and again, that other scripture, you have the human element placed within that. And, you know, this is not an area you want to mess with unless you understand it. Most people wouldn't mess with it, again, because they don't want anything to do with the devil or whatever. Well, this isn't having to do with the devil per se. This is having to do with God and understanding that there are certain situations that God chooses to loose the devil. Now, we talked about Job, and I don't know if we'll get to that one before we close out on this or not, but you know it. We talked about it. And that is, you've got God pointing out Job to Satan, and then allowing him to go down and wreak all this havoc. So what mind is working in God that he does that? And that's in the Old Testament, and this is all in the New Testament. Same mind. What kind of mind? What sort of means is he trying to bring about? And I can't even find all of the questions to ask about it, but there are a bunch of questions to say, well, this, you know, but there are even more questions when God says to Paul, and Paul says to these leaders, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Is it possible that if you didn't understand, you'd deliver somebody unto Satan and they'd just get more demons? I would think it's possible. It is a profoundly heavy weight that rests upon us to pursue the mind of the Lord and the understanding of how he moves, that we may work with him. And it's also profoundly scary, because if we don't understand, then the consequences to someone else could be, you know, drastic. Well, apparently, in both of these examples, it was understood. Now, I want to say to you, well, let me finish what the scriptures say here, okay? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? I will say to you that in my searching of this, the Lord opened unto me an incredible reality within these concepts. And he took me into the Old Testament, and he took me into stories. And when I say took me into, because I'm more visual and I'm more, you know, I conceptualize things in terms of like a real situation. And he took me into one of the Old Testament stories that I'm very, very familiar with. And that is, one that we've all talked about at some time or another. And is, you know, Lord's really used. And within that story, and he did it in several different places, but I'm thinking of one specific one right now. In that story, he showed me this reality and the way that God works and the basis upon what he's doing. And I realized that he didn't do that for them. Or maybe he did. Maybe he did for Paul. Maybe he did for Timothy. But we didn't, he didn't, he just gives us the information here. But he doesn't tell us the whole thing. Why? 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 Because he wants us to come to him and say, Father, this is a heavy weight of responsibility, and I am not wise, and I don't know everything, but I know you, and I know that you're my Father because you're the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ that dwells in me. And if I am ever to work with you in these areas, I need you to prepare me and to open my eyes that I know for sure that I see. And in that way, you're not failed because I didn't care to really seek your heart in this matter. And they're not hurt because I just thought I was somebody deep and knew stuff and decided to do this based on a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that did not there give the explanation for it. You go, well, that's a long prayer, but if you care, it's not about caring for yourself first, it's about him. And it's not just caring about him, but it's caring about others and bearing the burden of that and of bearing the weight of that and not wanting to move, not because you're afraid you'll make a mistake, but because you want to know his heart and you believe that there's treasure in his heart that pertains to simple scriptures and stories. So all of that requires something more than being a scripture searcher, than being a Pharisee that knows everything. It is a genuine recognition that you are not the shepherd. He is. Jesus is the shepherd. And at best, you're an under shepherd, or worse. And the point is that your heart will be drawn in everything to him, not just running through the scriptures and grabbing up everything you can and putting it down and then shoving it out and, you know, saying, look at all the stuff I got, you know. So one key thing is found in this scripture, and that is, well, it leads up to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you do it in the name. When you're gathered together, okay, in my spirit, okay, meaning you understand you're with me. I'm not there right now. This is Paul. I'm not there right now, but please don't have your spirit here. I'm with the Lord and I want you to be with him too. But then he says, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a huge key to being able to open and allow the Spirit of God to begin to show you this. So then it's that power is there to deliver such a one unto Satan. That power is there. All right, we would say, well, that's the power to bind the devil. No, that's his power and his wisdom talked about in 1 Corinthians, which this is still 1 Corinthians, and it's only a few chapters away from where he talked about it at length, that Christ crucified, the wisdom and the power of God. Okay, and that power. To deliver such a one unto Satan. And it is with purpose. And that is for the destruction of the flesh. All right? So we can have many thoughts on the flesh, but it's the idea is that God wants us to be his and of him and out from him. And what comes out of us comes out from him. And that, again, is a heart situation, not a deliverance situation where you cast demons out. It is God using all things to work together for the good, which is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. And he'll use anything. He'll use everything, all things. He'll use, it's all his, and he can use it all. But he's not, you know, we would say, well, I know this is the devil. I know this is the devil. I know this is the devil. Well, it may be. And you may not be able to truly understand why the devil is there and why God isn't helping you, because Paul didn't. Remember, he didn't. He prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this from me. Didn't matter. It didn't matter to God. He knows what he's doing. Well, what are you going to do, Randy, if the devil, Satan himself. I mean, this didn't say, and deliver him to some little tiny demons that don't really have a lot of power. Just scare them. No. What am I going to do? Well, I'm with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. Some of you that know me know, I'm sorry. I'm going to be with the Lord. And I'm going to believe that he can use all things. And I'm going to stay the course until he has brought forth his purpose in doing that. And if any juncture I feel he wants me to rebuke the devil or cast the devil out or do any of that, I'll do it, but I will not. And Paul apparently won't either. I will not automatically assume that everything has to be cast out instead of overcome. You ever read Revelation chapter, 12? Is it 12? Yeah. And they overcame him. See, the scripture talks about Satan being cast down to the earth. Satan cast down to the earth. What? And then the angels and everything. Now is the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God. Yeah. Now you're going to learn to bring that kingdom down too. Now. And they overcame the devil that was cast into the earth. Okay, so that's almost another example of this. Why would he cast him into the earth? Well, you know, why are you putting him down here with us? Get him out of here. And he's running around, you know, tail flying everywhere. It's a joke. But, you know, wreaking havoc. You're going to why'd you just ask? Get him out. Y'all up there are better at handling this kind of stuff than we are. You know, could you take him back? No, I want him right there. But if you're going to overcome him, you're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, meaning the death, a death of Jesus, by the word of your testimony, which relates to you manifesting that same spirit of the Lamb in death, and because you didn't love your life unto the death, because you didn't think my life is so precious that I'm so special to God that he needs to deliver me from this. No, he will deliver you unto death. And we're fighting death, and then let's put it this way, we're fighting Satan, and then we're fighting death. Okay? Well, Satan's bringing the death, so this has got to be really bad. Well, what if Satan is bringing the death? Judas gets up, walks out, and he's going to betray Jesus and bring those people, you know, to him and carry him off. And it says that Satan entered Judas and he got up and da da da. Jesus knows that. Jesus didn't say, hey, hold up there, buddy. Come here. We're going to get that out of you. We believe in deliverance in the name of Jesus. That which is my name, he would say to Judas. You know. It does also say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, he didn't, because our fear of death keeps us from being able to be with him in his sufferings. Okay. There's more to that. For the destruction of the flesh. That's some pretty powerful words. Destruction. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going, well, you know I have a flesh problem. You know what I mean? We go, well, I've got this, and I know that's the flesh, and I know I've got this, and I have flesh problems. Lord, would you deal with them? She said, sure, I'm going to send Satan. We'll just bring that all to destruction. You go, hold up here. You know, is there anyone else up there I could talk to? Nope, I'm it. So, that you may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay, well, the day in this context is being brought up into him in oneness and fullness, whether, quote unquote, meeting him in the air or whatever. It is the completion of the work that only Christ crucified can bring about in us. And then it mentions leaven here, that they may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven problems in the church seem to be turned over to Satan instead of to the Lamb. Now, I will tell you, I've been searching, and we probably need to quit. I'm sorry, I've just gone a little longer than I'm thinking here. I have searched a lot on unleavened bread and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm not even close to finishing. I've got tons of personal notes over the years even, and it's just amazing. It's amazing about the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the New Testament, not talking about the Jews, talking about the Christians and the reality of that. In this situation, they had another situation going on in the church, and they should have mourned about that, but instead they were puffed up. And Paul now is not even talking to the person that they need to deliver to such a one. He's talking to those that are glorying and that are supposedly the right ones, the holy ones. And he's saying, you've got leaven, which to me is worse than the devil. I know we'd go, no, that can't possibly be. Just ponder, you know what I mean? I'm going to close now. But, you know, one of the things I learned early in my walk with the Lord was I used to reject everything that didn't sound right to me and receive everything that sounded right to me. Well, I found out that that's a good way to get in trouble. Number one, I noticed that Mary pondered these things in her heart. She wanted to let it sink in and let it get in her. And if every time you hear something that doesn't sound right, and you assume that that's bad, because you don't know that, or you think that that couldn't be it, well, that means that you're all knowing. You know everything, and that's not right. But instead, you just take it to the Lord. You don't accept it or reject it. You take it to the Lord, and you just kind of put it up to him, and you say, you keep that. I want you to know, if there's something of you in this, speak to me. But the worst thing that we can do is when we hear stuff that we just have never heard before or at this stage at our walk don't agree with, we just throw up a wall. We may be throwing up a wall to the Lord. It won't hurt to not accept it, but it will hurt to throw up a wall and say, well, that's got to be the devil or that's got to be wrong. It'll hurt you, because then the Lord can never come to you and explain it, because you've already made up your mind. Close the door on it. Do like Mary. Ponder these things in your heart. And let the Spirit of God be the one, your Adonai, be the one that will bring you into it if there's something to. And I usually pray that. I say, Lord, if it's wrong and it's bad and ta-da-da-da, totally wipe it out of my mind or any influence of it. But if it's you, may your spirit, I give your spirit permission to come in and deal with me now or 100 years from now, whatever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Father, you didn't say the Holy Spirit would teach us everything about everything. You didn't say the Holy Spirit would teach us how to do brain surgery or any of that. You said he would testify of your son. He would take that which is his and show it unto us. And Father, what we want is not doctrines, even if I have said doctrines or whatever, we want your son. But we want to be open to you and not find ourselves closing ourselves off to something that could greatly be of you. So we ask you, continue to open our eyes and our hearts and our horizons to something beyond our little world of knowing, into a vast world of your mind and letting that mind be in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one more class next week, and then this portion, unless we have a break week and I decide to come back for one more after it. I don't know, but we definitely have one more. All right. Bye-bye.